It's time for Real Estate Roundup. This is the time every single week we get together with noted real estate agent Terry Story. Terry is a 26-year veteran with Coldwell Banker located in Boca Raton, Florida. Welcome back to the show, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
So I'm thinking about my neighborhood here. I see that prices are rising, and they seem to be rising pretty much everywhere, but there just aren't that many homes for sale. Why not?
You know, that's right, and that's the most frustrating thing as an agent, because the demand for housing is strong and we need the inventory, especially since we're about to enter into the spring buying season. What we have is builders aren't building new homes. They're saying that the cost and availability of labor is a huge factor.
Okay.
And so that's kind of disappointing. We also have a slowdown in the distressed market. You know, we're down from 11% compared to a year ago, and
meaning,
that's the lowest level.
Meaning that there's less foreclosures and the like.
Foreclosures, short sales. I mean, that's a good thing overall, yeah. But you know, when you're trying to move inventory and sell homes, it's not a good thing.
Yeah.
And you know, Steve, people are staying in their houses. Two-thirds of those baby boomers, for example, are deciding to make renovations to their homes. And part of that reason is because they'll go out and look to see, you know, if I were to sell my home, where would I go? They don't see the inventory. So they're like, well, I might as well stay where I'm at. You know, that's definitely a, you know, huge part of it. And for others, they're still stuck in their homes because they don't have enough equity to pull out from it, depending on when they purchase their home.
And I think some people decide, you know, it's going to be less expensive and less hassle just to renovate rather than actually picking up everything and moving. There isn't this sense of moving up anymore. I know in my area in South Florida, there's a sense of, in many cases, moving down, trying to reduce the noose, so to speak.
Right.
But still, there's problems with that as well, because the homes, the differentials aren't really all that different. So that's, I think, putting the kibosh on things as well. So we're saying that home prices are up, but inventory is down. What about existing home sales, let's say in January? How did they do?
You know, they actually inched up a little bit in January, and that's good news. And with the price growth accelerating. So that's all good. And basically what we saw, depending on you know, the housing market, you know, all the home values, if you look at the median existing home price in January was about $213,000, up 8.2% from last year.
That's a big increase for homes.
Yeah, and our inventory is really low.
Mm-hmm.
So the total housing inventory at the end of January increased a little bit, 3.4%, but we're still well below, we're at 3.9-month level of inventory.
Yeah, so wait a minute. What about how long homes stay on the market in your area? What's
the amount of time? You know, they're selling really fast. If they're priced right, they're selling, you know, in less than a month.
You know, I remember in 05, 06, and 07, you and I were talking about, I don't remember how long it took to sell a house, but it was a really long time.
Oh, it was months.
Months, yeah.
And it was very much a buyer's market, and now we're very much in a seller's market.
So the opposite, supply and demand is kicked in. Now there is lack of supply. There is steady and growing demand, and it causes prices to rise.
And this is all over the country, Steve. It increased in the Northeast, the Midwest, the South. The only place we saw a decline was in the West.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's existing home sales. What about pending home sales in January, which is homes on which contracts have been written, but they have yet to close?
You know, they cooled down a little bit in January, month over month, but they rose year over year. And weather always has something to do with it. I love the January figures. It all depends on what's going on with the weather.
Right.
We had blizzards in January, and that certainly cools things down.
Well, I want to get the violins out here right now because I understand the ultra wealthy, those who are interested in the market of homes worth $100 million, is vanishing.
Yeah, you know, last year there was about two dozen mega mansions offered over $100 million, which I didn't know. There's only four that sold across the country. So, and the people that are buying these are usually foreign buyers. Mm-hmm. So this whole market of the ultra luxury, there aren't that many buyers for it. And one of the concerns is this having an impact on the overall luxury market?
Right.
Is that going to start to slow down?
That was
too?
My next question. So Manhattan and areas like that, do you think we're starting to see some kind of a cooling off in the overall luxury market?
It might be slowing down a little bit. And, you know, we've said before, a lot of people are just staying put. I mean, based on some of the numbers or some indications, you know, in this luxury market being 10 million or higher, that's coming down a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, on the complete opposite of the spectrum, I want to talk about the new phenomenon of tiny houses. This is a
That's
new trend.
That's not tiny bubbles.
Not tiny bubbles. Tiny houses. Now, these are houses that if you go online and you Google tiny house, you'll start to see the way some of these are made. They kind of look like mobile homes, only they're made of wood and some kind of concrete or something, whereas obviously a mobile home is not. And the average price is like $25,000. They're really small. They're like 600 to 700 square feet.
Right. And they do have these across the country. And in this particular article, they're saying that this would be very feasible for like college students, mm-hmm. you know, in an area like Gainesville, they're trying to put them in, feasible for homelessness and affordable housing as an option, or for older adults who want to just downsize. It's really good for like a large student population area. But, you know, Steve, if I were to move in this, I would need like a village. I would have to have one for this family member, that family member. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, you know, it just seems to me that you could get a 2,400 square foot house, which is 600 times four, and pay $100,000 for them.
Right.
You know, if they're 25 each. So I don't know. That's where my mind goes to. All right. We only have a few seconds left. I'd love to go to your real estate survival guide. What type of home sells the fastest, Terry?
Right now, the best-selling house is a Spanish-style house, and they're selling in 47 days on average. The best view, city skylines. Best home amenity, I can't believe this, but stainless steel appliances.
Yeah, okay.
Best location, it's all about the school district. And best price range is 2 to 250. Best size is 1,500 to 2,000 square feet.
Okay, so kind of on the smaller side. And your practice is actually in that price range as well.
Sure.
A lot right there.
So the best would be a Spanish-style home overlooking the city next to the golf course with good schools with some stainless appliances priced between $2 and $250 near the beach and 1,500 square feet for $200,000.
The problem is there's none of them listed.
Yeah, no. I think I could sell those all day long.
My guest, as always, is Terry Story. Terry's a 26-year veteran with Coldwell Banker located in Boca Raton. And she can be found at terrystory.com. Thanks, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.